Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. And already, we haven't even begun the show and it's already interesting. Now, if anyone has seen the teaser that we put in regarding our guest for next hour, at least scheduled for next hour, Lisa Engelken, you know that her story appears like a Lifetime movie. Seriously, she is from Big Skies, Kansas. She lives in San Francisco, mind you, but she's visiting mom back in the rural part of Kansas. So I have not been able to get in touch with her. She called last night, said she was having a little bit of a trick to get in touch, and we had our fingers crossed. So I had to put the word out on Facebook on her page for any family and friends to contact her to let her know what number to call, since she thinks it's going to be this number. In any case, since she is where she is in Kansas, it might be tricky to get through anyway. So keep your fingers crossed. Don't you love this? Oh, live radio is so much fun. And also I left word at her San Francisco number just to make sure in case she calls in case she can call in. How are ya? You good today? Let's get some Christmas cheer, maybe some coffee with peppermint ice cream or whipped cream. Have a nice seat. Let's get involved in some Christmas music, first of all, shall we? I'm going to start with Eartha Kitt on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Hybrid Jazz.
Till you're safe at home. purple clouds, gray winds that rage, lightning lines, pale white, choose new colors, turn the page, where there is no storm, and you're safe at home. Crayon sun above you, in a blue crayon sky, little one, I love you. You're the reason that I am here. I am here. I am here.
so beautiful, isn't it? Not a holiday song, but it sounds like one. Crayon Sun, Safe at Home, from Michael Frank's Blue Pacific album, his 11th studio album featuring, among others, wow, Brenda Russell, Livingston Taylor, Kirk Whalum, Joe Sample, Larry Carlton, John Patitucci, and Jeff Lorber as arranger, producer, and keyboard player, of course. This was before Veronica Nunn joined Michael Franks back in 1990. 1990! What? Yes! Isn't that insane to think about it? And many had said that with the launch of Blue Pacific, folks were really enamored that Michael had decided to come back to that authentic Brazilian sound that he started to love so much in high school. And he got away from it. He did a little bit of an experimentation in the 1980s, and then he came back, and it just sort of opened the door to the tropics when you heard this CD. Beautiful stuff, and Lord knows the artistry involved in it was wonderful. If you go to michaelfranks.com, there's a few dates that he has down. I noticed that he hasn't actually said anything in the way of a blog since August, so I think he's taking a break, and I'm wondering how Veronica feels about that. We have to talk to her again soon. Miss her. Jimmy Smith, the second song in that set, the combination of 60s soul and the improvisation of jazz. Oh, what he did to inspire so many with that Hammond B3 organ. And Beach, our Hammond lover, is not in the chat room today. She's in the process of moving. Thank God she's in California where the temperatures aren't that bad, but I hear that some of you folks have had temperatures, what, in the 30s in the morning? That is crazy. So, Beach, I'm thinking about you. We love you, Griselda and me. Jimmy Smith, 1964, that was Santa Claus Coming to Town from Christmas 64. Just a little bit of background about Jimmy. At the age of 9, already had taught himself piano, he won a Philadelphia radio contest. He was right down the street in Norristown, PA, and got very proficient very quickly. In 1954, he saw Wild Bill Davis play the organ, and that's when he switched from piano to organ. Amazing career, amazing life. He was playing in one of the clubs in Philly, and a major Mahu from Blue Note saw him and said, "Oh, I got to sign you." So the rest is history, and it culminated in a 2005 NEA Jazz Masters Award. Now, check this out. This is just an aside. I'm not sure if anybody has talked about this or not in regard to Jimmy, but he and Lola, his wife, had a real nice marriage. And they had decided for health reasons and for sunshine to move to Arizona. A couple of months after that, Lola passed away. Within a year, Jimmy was gone. He had passed away in his sleep. So it just goes to show you that when you have one of those relationships in life that is in a true partnership, sometimes folks don't last too long afterwards. And I'm thinking, of course, of George Duke, who you'll hear a little bit later on in the show. Just what? It was early in 2013. That's right. Wasn't it early in 2013 that Corrine had passed away? And then we lost George in August. Wasn't that long. It's usually like within a year or so. I've heard of so many of these cases. Grandparents, husbands, wives, partnerships, domestic partnerships of any kind that have true love and true connection. Whew! Man. Yeah, it just really cemented that knowledge to me this morning. I looked in one of the resource guides that I have because there are some tried and true research. sort of papers or online endeavors that you can go if you want to look up some stories on these artists, and just happen to put two and two together about Lola and Jimmy. Whew. Eartha Kitt, oh my, that's who started our show, 1953. Very interesting. Oh, Eartha Kitt was more than that, actually. She left us in 2008, actually, on Christmas Day. Yes. She recorded Santa Baby in New York City 10 days before yours truly's birthday on 10-6-53. 10 days after that, I would have been 1 year old. This was with the Henri René Orchestra, and it was a song that was pretty rare. Here's why. It was written by a woman, Joan Javits, the niece of Senator Jacob Javits, who we loved in Philadelphia. He was a liberal Republican. He died in 1986, was a champion for so many wonderful causes, and a real learned, real true to himself kind of politician. I'm not one of these people who says, oh, all politicians are alike. That is not true. Oh, have we found that out? But Joan Javits wrote the lyric for that, and she had some help from Philip Springer, and man, was that ever successful. Eartha Kitt said that was one of the most fun times she ever had in a recording studio. She loved that song so much. Her daughter, Kit Shapiro, by the way, is keeping mom's legacy alive. If you do the Google on Kit Shapiro, you will see two websites for Eartha Kitt. One, of course, EarthaKitt.com, which is a blast. When you read about her, one of the more fascinating women that we've ever had in the entertainment business. That is not being dramatic or exaggerated. Man, it's good stuff to read. Peggy Duquesnel, we had her on the show not that long ago. Let's play something by Peggy. What a sweet Christmas compilation this is. All I Ask for Christmas is the name of the album, and Christmas is Here, from Peggy herself on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
Christmas bells ring, people start singing, and I forget about all the troubles I seem to have. And I tell myself to feel how my brother feels, try to love him and maybe then I'll understand. Make a little room in our hearts, no heart's too small. Can we love each other today?
Great audience. Good night. Don't forget to tip your waiter. Drive carefully. Oh, man. That's a showstopper right there, isn't it? Oh, from an album that has sold well over a million copies. This is Christmas. Title track, Luther's essentially 11th album. It was also a TV show. Do you remember? Oh, my gosh. It was during one of Luther's thin phases. Holy cow, we worried about him so much. Those of us who were in the business in any way, who loved him, we saw his weight go up and then come crashing down. I remember he said in an interview, oh, gosh, so long ago now, that, and it was one of those CBS shows, like 60 Minutes, maybe, he said that he could not possibly go into a grocery store and walk down the bread aisle. He couldn't do it because he would get so much bread, it was as though he never had bread. This is what ballooned his weight because he couldn't stay away from that. Although the French say that if you have bread by itself, it's okay, but of course, everything in moderation, right? But Luther had diabetes and hypertension. So he had to really watch himself. And then eventually that's how we lost him, through the hypertension, because he had a stroke in 2003 and he passed away in 2005. But mercy, what music he left. I must tell you that This Is Christmas featured some wonderful people, including a collaborator of Luther's named Richard Marx. That name might ring a bell. Oh, my. Richard Marx was so big at one time and still doing well. I think he still works with Justin Timberlake. He works with a lot of people, actually, but he doesn't have to work. You know where I'm going with that. He and Luther co-wrote a song. If you have never heard it, it's worth it just to get This Is Christmas. Every year, every Christmas, if you know that song, it's one of those songs you really don't want to hear around the holiday season, but it's like a traffic accident on the highway. You can't help but look. Whew! It is just too emotional for words, and some of us would prefer not to hear it. But it will get you. You can skip right over it if you get the CD. Listen, I have to play Luther because I saw my friend Lori Lewis the other day. Lori Lewis was the program director of WSMJ in Baltimore. She was fabulous, very strong, beautiful, and smart lady. And now she is the director of content, if you will, website and social development. She has this glorious job, and she also writes for All Access, which is a radio endeavor that's online. So the whole thing about Luther being my angel, he really is, because when he passed away, there was a wonderful guy that was working at WSMJ, I wasn't there yet, named Bill Simpson, who's based in Philadelphia. Beautiful voice. Bill Simpson had a tribute to Luther. It was on a Saturday, and it was put together by Lori, and Bill helped her, and it was just beautiful, and I was weeping. T was weeping, too, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to call that radio station to say thank you, and I did, and here's a live person on Saturday. She said, hello, who are you? I said, wait a minute. Why is anyone in their right mind working at a radio station on the business line on a Saturday? She said, well, I just happen to be here. So who are you? And I told her, and within like 5 minutes, she said, what are you doing? Could you come see me? Went to see her, and again, within 5 minutes, she offered me a job. And she rewrote my life. So Lori, anytime I play Luther, it's always for you. Luther was the angel. He was the messenger, the catalyst, if you will, and everything worked out really well. WSMJ didn't work out really well, but during the time that it was on the air, it was a happening place. Chrissy Cromwell, we heard. Corinthia Cromwell, if you will. And that also was with her Evolution Band, a song that she wrote with her good friend Will Allen, who is a drummer who works with Rodney Kelly Jr. We just played a track from Rodney a couple of weeks ago. That was a song called In Flight, one of those choice cuts on Corinthia's Peace of Mind Outside the Lines CD. Half jazz, half gospel, all good. She's got a new release coming out in 2014. We'll keep you apprised of that. And Peggy Ducanel, Christmas is Here from All I Ask for Christmas. Upstairs at Vitello's, that's where she's going to be on the 19th. Chris Standring and his friend Catherine Shore were there last night. Our good friend Jonathan Widren was there, and he did a little video clip for me. Thank you, Jonathan. Heard the show was wonderful. Not surprised. Chris was just here on Hybrid Jazz last week, and I know that Peggy's going to do well, too. Oh, here's something cool that Peggy's doing. If you go to her website, which is great, you can share the information about the fact that she'll be at Vitello's on Facebook or Twitter or via email. I don't usually see that, but that's very smart. If you're a Peggy Ducanel fan, go to Ducanel. That's how you spell her last name, peggyducanel.com, and you'll see all about it. Now, as we mentioned for the first few seconds of the show, here's the situation with Lisa Engelken. I'm not sure what's going to transpire. We'll just proceed as if we're going to talk. Lisa is in her hometown in Kansas. It's a rural area. Actually, let me give you the name of the town in Kansas where she's from. Yes, Big Skies, Kansas. Now, this is country, y'all. Lisa is the youngest of 13 children, so she's home for the holidays. She left a message last night that I didn't see until this morning. She said, I'm going to assume that I'm going to call this number, she said, and she mistook the number to call here with my landline. So she doesn't have internet where she is. That's not working. Called her San Francisco number, which is her home now, put a word out to her Facebook friends and family. If you know how to get in touch with Lisa, please tell her this is the number to call. Try to get through to the number in Kansas. Guess what? I can't. It's not working. So let's just see what happens, okay? We'll play Brian Auger right now from last year's Language of the Heart and a song that he wrote with absolute love to his wife. They have been married for decades. To have a love like this, it's what dreams are made of. It's called Ella on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz. got to tell you, when I first heard that voice and this music from Little Warrior, title track here is the song I heard first, because it's always nice to go to a title track and see where maybe somebody's head is at. I did not know where I was going to go when I heard this CD. Just so different, so dramatic, so rich, so full of music and textures and colors. This voice went everywhere, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is so awesome that you get to meet these monumental talents via this kind of escape route, if you will, because when you're listening to hybrid jazz, it's always, it seems like a real cool escape from the real world. But this lady, Lisa Engelken, has done so much. She has experienced the real world seriously as many of us have never. Her life story reads like something out of Lifetime. Whether it's going to be on the widescreen or a smaller screen via TV, somebody has to do her life. It's that kind of situation. She has been a fabulous singer, composer, vocal coach, a producer, a band founder. She has acted and won an award for her acting, and I'm going to have to ask her about that question because of the role that she played. She has done more in her life than most people who are twice her age, and it's a pleasure to welcome her. Calling in from Kansas, everybody, Lisa Engelken.
Oh, am I with you?
You sure are, honey. I am so glad. Yay.
Wow, what an introduction. I think it melted all the snow. It was so warm.
Thank you
very much.
You are so welcome, and thank you for being so forthcoming. This is something that all women who are in jazz especially should know what to do, because you contacted me and said, I just want to introduce myself and say hey. And Lisa, you opened that door, and I walked all the way through. I'm still walking. God.
Yeah, that was amazing. The reason why is because one of those fabulous vocalists and artists, a true artist that you have out in your area, I'll give a shout out to Heidi Martin, was on
the
show, and that's how I actually became aware of you, because I'm a big fan of hers, having seen her show when I was back on the East Coast touring the album prior to this called Caravan.
Yeah.
And I just was amazed by her chops and by her artistry and her she could have been pulling chops everywhere which way but loose, you know, just going crazy. But I really enjoyed her ability to select her selective process in showing, in other words, in showing us all that she can do. And so, anyway, that's how I found out about you. And I was also very intrigued by the show being called Hybrid Jazz, because I thought, you know, that's how I describe my music is exactly that, as a hybrid form of jazz. So I thought, you know what, we might be a good match, you and I, Trish.
Oh, we definitely are. And, you know, you really are correct in your assessment of your music. I mean, who would know your music better than you? But seriously, with all that, the operatic and the theatrical training and the fact that, holy cow, Lisa, I don't know how you found the time, because, first of all, there's two bands that you co-founded in D.C., so you were right in our neck of the woods, and I never knew you. But then you got your degree in Italian literature, and you sing in three languages. It's so trippy what you have been able to do. You have not had a moment where you have been sort of idle hands situations, have you?
Yeah, I've got that sort of, you know, my father's work ethic, I think. You know, I'm kind of, somebody described me once as a quiet storm. You know, when I'm quiet, I'm still always really busy.
Yes.
So sometimes I'm away from people, like as with these projects. You know, these projects take, as a writer and arranger, and as a producer then, of course, too, you really have to be able to take time and remove yourself from from the flow of life, I guess, from circulation. I guess you go hibernate a bit and get your work done. And, yeah, so if you're able to do that and then also come back into the world, you'll probably get things done. You get things done better, I find, you know, if you're able to remove yourself for a while and you're comfortable with that. You know, I don't think I was always that way. I was a lot more social when I was younger. It made me a bit nervous, I think, to basically do creation and writing on my own for any long period of time. So as I get older, you know, I think that that is something I really relish, and it's quite healing, and it's just a lovely, it's meditation for me. Music is meditation, and part of that is the actual just solitude and being able to play, sing, and create, to write, which all takes a lot of time. People
yes.
I don't think a lot of people, I think people think music, you know, it's a mystical thing. It truly is. Music's great, but what people, I think, who aren't actually doing it think sometimes is like, on TV, it's like, or in a video, it's like, oh, wow, they just picked up guitar, and wow, they just played and sang a beautiful tune, you know.
Right.
But it actually takes time to write. It takes time to not write. It takes time to, it just takes a lot of time. Whatever that means, you know, and to each, I think each writer, each composer, each arranger, each artist in any discipline, time takes on different meaning. And being busy, I don't know if being busy is the actual right word for it, but at least you're always, everything leads to that work, I think. Everything leads to the work, you know. In a way, including the time you take off from it.
and that's a point that is worth exploring for sure, because, you know, some people can take off work from what they do in a day-to-day life, but true artists never do, because your life is your work and vice versa. You really can't separate yourself. And for you, you're so thoughtful about projects. We talked on the phone last week, and you told me about the effort, the passion that went into 2010's Caravan, and what you had in mind with how you were going to follow this up. And it's not that you're necessarily, I wouldn't use the word methodical, but you're very much aware that things need to be satisfactorily finished so that they appear to be art. How's that?
Yeah, that's great. Hey, will you be my press agent? You have a way with words.
Well,
I can
know,
listen to you talk all day.
Well, of course it's about you, and of course I love your work. So each track I'm listening to in Little Warrior, I'm going, doggone, I don't think I heard anybody else do that. It was just,
you know,
such a revelation. Wow.
That's so great. I'm so glad that you started with that one. That blows my mind that you actually put that on first.
Yes.
That, what an insight. I'd never even thought of doing that myself before, taking somebody's work, taking their album, if they're doing an album of work or collection of songs, and taking the song that they'd actually titled the whole project as. I have never even thought of going there first. I always go first. I always listen chronologically, you know, the first track down to the last track. And that's really cool that you did not do that, because, in fact, Little Warrior was the last tune I wrote, and, in fact, it was written as we played it. That middle section, the meditation, where I go into just a one note, neither mind nor body, we are spirit. That's original tracks there, you know. And it was written as we did it. Those words came out. That happened. All of that was because I came in with that track not fully written. I came in with the music done, of course, but we. Bill Contus, the brilliant pianist on that,
yes,
and Matt Swindells, the drummer, they really liked that intro, which I had just, again, I just had this piece literally written. I was coming in with it, as well as Cold Blue Steel, too. But this track especially was just being written, was just finished pretty much as we walked in, and I hand this out to them. And you know, Matt had heard me, the drummer, Matt Swindells, had heard me play and sing the Shakadadizumbai, you know, that whole intro.
I love it.
He was like, gosh, that sounds so darned cool. It'd be great if you could find a way to go back to that. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'd been kind of thinking about that too. Anyway, as we played the tune, we played that intro, we played that recitative is what I call it. That's a classical term, but it's actually a rubato, I guess, in jazz speak, where it's just piano and vocal freely working together out of time. And in that section, then we went into the first chorus, and then that's when Bill said, you know what, let's go back into that, let's go back into the intro again. Here, we can do it here before we go into the second A. And it worked perfectly because my second A was a tempo. It was up, which means at tempo, which means it was played in time and at a little bit faster tempo. So that was perfect to go back to the introduction and play it only once through before we end up going into the second A in time. And that was a brilliant. So that's why I gave him a little props, gave Bill props on arrangement, because that was a great idea that he thought, you know, oh, this will be the great place, because we were wondering where could we put it, and he right there on the spot said, let's put it in. And lots of things happened in that session, session with Bill. I'd met Bill. Can I talk a little bit about the project? Or?
Oh, my God. Listen, you just go right ahead, girl. Talk about anything you want.
Oh, great. Okay, so Bill Kantus is the pianist. He's out of L.A., and I got to see him in I was actually shopping for a pianist for about three months, and because I'd been doing this project. I came up with the idea, the concept of anima explorations. That's not enema, folks. It's anima. Anima is Italian for soul. And when I started this project at the end of, I guess it was very close of December 2010, with Caravan now out almost 8 months, I was looking towards the new project. What was going to be my new project to start to work on? And so anima was a word that kept coming forth, which means soul. And so I named my new project Anima Explorations. Now, what that meant, I found the way along the way basically with an emphasis on exploration. Anyway, so fast forward then about a year, and I'd been performing a lot of the works in front of live audiences and having dialogues with those folks, very meaningful dialogue with fans and friends who have been following me and coming to these monthly house concerts that I'd hold to debut or tweak, revise, develop material. And about a year into that, then, I was heartbroken that the pianist that I'd been working with, very brilliant guy, dropped out of the project. And so, and that's great, you know, in the best laid plans, right? I thought I'd be going in to record this album in October at the end of 2011. Thought I'd be going in to record at the end of the year. And as the song Little Warrior talks about, plans and hearts are always broken. You know, it's just a cycle of life. It's a cycle of the experience of life and living life. And it happens over and over and over again, this whole death and rebirth. You leave something behind and some new door opens. So here I was in October. Gosh, I lost my collaborator, the brilliant, you know, the third part of this collaboration of Matt Swindell, Sam Bevan on bass. And I thought, oh, shoot. But what I was really happy about was that I didn't stay still. I ended up going inward again, and I really probably, the next 2 months were the most fulfilling part of this project for me. I went in and just played piano and sang, retweaked, rewrote, rearranged, continued to develop and evolve the tunes right little warrior, and also develop another tune to bring in too. So I actually, the album came out as a result of that, what I thought was a great heartbreak or misfortune. It wasn't until 5 months later in February that I at the session, we did the Valentine's Day sessions. We went in and recorded these 11 tracks on Valentine's Day and the days after, like 2 days. And it was only then that I realized this was exactly how everything was supposed to happen. And
wow.
I had been shopping for that pianist. Yeah, it's magic. This whole thing is magic. And in January, I did a meditation for about 3 hours, which that part of Little Warrior comes out of, the part, the meditative part. I call it a meditation in motion, a musical meditation in motion. The neither body, it's right before the ending, the mantra sort of, the neither mind nor body, we are spirit. And 3 days later, in that meditation, I let go of the pianist who'd already left. But I actually let him go and was like, I honor you. You're amazing, but I'm letting you go now. I need to let you go. Goodbye. And I said goodbye to the year. And 3 days later, I go see Dori Caymmi, the brilliant Brazilian songwriter and composer, singer. I saw him 3 days later and fell in love with the performance and vocal performance and piano performance by his pianist, who is Bill Kantus.
How about that?
I just was like, this guy is amazing. Oh, I'd love to work with him. And I said that to my friend. We were sitting there, wow, what would it be like to work with that guy? I'd seen a lot of pianists over the last 3 months. I'd been out, going out, checking out people from all over. And I was like, wow, he's great. So anyway, we were leaving the theater. I was in the last, you know, crowd to get out of there. But as magic again would happen, Bill came out onto the stage to retrieve something off the piano, and I went bounding like a puppy down the aisles, through the house, to the stage. We just looked at each other and gave each other a huge hug, like we hadn't seen each other in years. We didn't say anything. We just gave each other a huge hug.
Oh, wow.
And then
wow.
It was like we were old friends already. And then I said, hey, you ever work with anybody else? And he said, well, if you've got something going on, do you have something going on? And I was like, yes, and I'll write you about it. So wisely, he gave me his general website, not his personal email, because I could assume that with all the exuberance and love that I was putting out there, he probably thought, gosh, this is something I better watch out for. But So the next day I wrote him, you know, I gave him tracks from Caravan. I gave him some tracks, live tracks of the new project. Of course, like I had said, I'd been developing and debuting that through the year. And so I had some live performances of that and talked about where I was going with the project and didn't hear from him until the day of my birthday, about 3 weeks later. And on my birthday, he wrote, he didn't know it was my birthday, but he gave me a great present. And he said, you know what? I love this. This is great. Let's do this. And so I saw him again 6 weeks later, and that's when we, on Valentine's Day, 2012, we went in and recorded the 11 tracks with Sam Bevan on bass and Matt Swindells on drums, and it was an amazing experience. It was like we'd been working together forever. And, in fact, the engineer, Dave Lichtenstein, he thought, actually, we'd been a group that we had been performing together. Just the way we worked, how fast we worked, how open we were with each other. It was just truly, I could not have asked for a more amazing experience. And as Little Warrior says, and I'll shut up and let you ask a question, as that song talks about, you know, so that's my summary, basically, of the musical experience is Little Warrior. That song kind of is a full circle of what I was doing both spiritually. In that same, you know, as I started my new music project, I decided to work on my energy inside of me and try to address how I could feel more comfortable in my skin. And so I did a lot of, holistic work or Reiki and yoga. The yoga at Reiki was really way too intense, but it did do some I think some it moved stuff around, let me tell you. But then I moved from that into yoga and meditation and much more. I don't know. Yoga has just been a great. It has been of great service to me. Meditation, reflection, and the power of that has really united my mind, body, and spirit. And anyway, why did I bring that up? Oh, because that's all part of it too. The whole musical journey, the musical project, and the spiritual project, or the how to feel comfortable in my skin part of my goals for the year too. They ended up actually becoming one and the same, the spiritual and the musical journeys. And I suppose somebody else would have said, of course, that's happened to many artists, you know, John Coltrane, or, you know, you can name on and on and on. But when you do it yourself, it seems it's quite a discovery. And so that's kind of where Little Warrior, it's kind of a summary of the travel, of the journey, you know, in this past 2-3 years.
Anyway. Well, it's interesting because the song, just simplistically, if you are going to name your new project Little Warrior, which is an interesting title anyway, I knew that it was going to be personal, and I'm looking to see that you wrote it, and I'm looking that Bill actually had a hand in the arranging, and I'm thinking, she views this as personal, but here's what is so cool about that. It's a personal song for you, but it became personal for me when I heard it. Which is funny.
that's really cool because that's what I have gotten, especially from lots of women have written. I've gotten a great response, personal response. And in fact, can I just, if anybody listens to this and you want to communicate after you've heard it, and if anything speaks to you or doesn't speak to you, write me at my website, which is www.lisaengelken.com. That's ENGELKEN.com. And I have had lots of people, I've been blessed to have lots of people, including live audiences, as well as people have been writing in to contact me. Lots of women, especially, which I totally dig, have really, this song and this subject matter really resonates with them. So I'm happy to hear that it resonates with you, too.
Oh, yeah. You know why? Because without getting into an overwhelming account of it, because we only have an hour, for the love of God, but, you know, it's like a rising song. It's like here's this phoenix, and you can see this phoenix coming forth, and as if the phoenix actually had the plumage of a peacock. So you can see the feathers just open up and open up.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's wow. That's colorful. I love that.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, there is a correlation to me hearing that song and the passing of Nelson Mandela. So it hit me. It hit me.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, how good the timing is that you're on the show today. And you know, going back to something that you said, Lisa, I have to ask you this because it says so on your website, and I went, am I reading that correctly? You went through a lot 2009, 2010, didn't you? A lot.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And those years before Caravan, yeah, in the years of Caravan, there was a lot going on. Yeah. A loss of my brother, who was my main supporter.
Wow.
And, he was taken in a crazy accident, immediately taken from us all. And and then I got hit by a car.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? My accident?
Yes.
I was crossing the street and in the crosswalk with the light and was hit by a vehicle as well. Folks, stay off of your cell phones when you... when you're driving, you can hurt people. Yeah, so that was a challenge as well. But my angels, you know, had me fly through the air. But you know, and I did hit the earth hard, but the pavement, I guess. But you know, I was really lucky in that misfortune. I was very lucky. I didn't break. I had a concussion, and 4 months of recovery, but, you know, it wasn't nearly as bad as what other folks have. I lived. You know, I went back to the scene of the crime, the scene of the accident, I should call it, and the two crosswalk guards that were there, they were so sweet. They don't speak English, and I speak pretty fair Spanish. And so that was fun. They saw me coming across the crosswalk towards them, and one of them ran to me, picked me up, and he says, you're alive in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
And he says, look, she's alive, because they didn't know what happened to me after the, you know, accident.
Oh, bless their hearts.
The ambulance took me away.
Oh,
and
my
so that
goodness.
Was really cool. And then they walked me. It was quite scary. They walked me through the accident and how it all happened, because I didn't know myself, you know. And so they actually took my hand, the crosswalk guards, so they were stopping traffic. It was quite scary for me to go through this with them out there in the road.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was still very car shy for a while, very, very shy for a while.
I guess
year,
you were. Do you realize, I mean, that's a miracle, Lisa. I mean, for you to have survived that, because you went through the air.
Yeah, they said, I didn't know it, but I mean, I knew I went through the air, because that was my last thought, was how am I going to land? That was my last thoughts going through my head.
There she is, always thinking of the next project. How am I going to land?
There you go. Yeah, there you go. See, I was trying to plan ahead.
She just can't stop. Oh, that is
That's
crazy.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God. Well,
I'm
just so intrigued by this. Seriously, somebody really should put all of this on paper, because you had me at Big Skies, Kansas, and the youngest of 13. So.
Yeah.
After that, I thought, okay, we're finished with the dramatic stuff now. It'll be like gravy here on out. And then I'm reading about Hedwig and the Angry Inch and the part that you played and the award that you got and the 3-octave range in Portuguese, French, and Italian and your education and then this accident. And shoot, girl, there's not a whole lot like you.
Well, I had good role models, you know, my mom and dad. My mom's she doesn't like history, she says, because she's always looking forward. History always bores her. I do like history, but I think I am with her in the fact that you know, the more you live in the past or you dwell on the past, you miss what's coming forward, you know. You don't make room for what is new, what is the magic that can happen in your life. That awareness, I think you had used that word. When you're aware, you know, so many beautiful things can happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so even that accident, you know, even that had a happy ending. My even though I would never recommend anyone fund the final part of their artistic project through an accident, it did help a little bit to finish up Caravan.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I did a
crowdfunding campaign to finish up the last part of this project. I have the best fans in the world, and I just finally decided I have to turn to them in order to get this done. And they really helped me out. But one of my other brothers said, Lisa, you know, because I was like, I just found myself completely broke. I still needed to get the last, you know, 15, 20, probably 20% of the album, the musician's fees and recording, the engineer's fees done, then the daunting mixing costs and mastering costs that go with that just to get to the release. And my brother said, well, don't throw yourself out in the street again. I was like, no, sorry, I wasn't planning on doing
that. It's nice to see that your family has a sense of humor, thank goodness. Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well,
yeah, so,
whatever.
So my fans did help me.
And they have to pick up. See, people are smarter than we have given them credit for through the years. Your fans are your fans for a reason, because they perceive, and it probably was the case that even more so after the accident and the loss of your brother, I view you, Lisa, in the short time I've known you, as savoring life more than most people. And that's so crucial when it comes to music. Crucial.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I'm any more than or any less than anybody else. I just, yeah, I mean, I think everybody, I don't know. I just think I'm me, and yeah, I don't know if I'm more or less of anything, but definitely I'm trying to listen to my heart and have courage to listen to my heart, because it seems to know the real tough truths much more than my head does. My head does a lot of talking, but my heart's pretty doesn't have a lot of words, but it's sometimes the heart's scary to listen to. But I try to listen to it and honor it. And I think maybe that's where some people might think, it's very kind of you to say that about me. I don't know, some people might just say that I'm crazy, you know.
I didn't say that you weren't crazy. I did say that you knew how to save your life, and that you also know how to go for it in ways that I can't say enough about, because women who are involved in the jazz community need to take a page from what you do. You put pedal to metal. You understand that things need to get done. So you reach out with the people. We talked about Henry Wong at Andy Music. We talked about Marianne at Jazzway 6004. We understand that you want to do some touring in the Mid-Atlantic and the East Coast. So it was a pleasure to share any kind of information about you, because you're not timid. You will say, okay, good, I got the information. Now I know who to contact. There are so many timid women who are involved in music still. We're almost here at 2014, and that is not in you. God bless you.
Well, it is in me. You know, it is in me, and I don't know if women are timid. I don't really necessarily think that's. I mean, I'd call it. I'd just adjust that a little bit. I'd say that women have a harder time. There are a lot more challenges for women in this field, especially, but for women in general, but especially in the field of jazz, it's really tough to, it's challenging, I'll say, not tough, it's challenging to lead your own group. It's still a man's world, and that's just how it is. So that being how it is intimidating. It can be very intimidating. And being able to move through that fear of having to lead is a real challenge. And if we can learn a way to listen to our heart and move through the intimidation that gets thrown at us, then we can get things done. Now, the other thing is it's hit and miss, I think, with everybody you work with. You know, you surround yourself with people who, A, dig what you're throwing out there, B, that are great players, but also, I'd say, you know, even before great playing, in a way, there are a lot of great players who also have great, very open attitudes and don't have any biases. You know, they who love women, who honor women and appreciate women, and they in turn are not intimidated by working with women. So it's not even, you know, it's a weird thing, because sometimes I think there are a lot of folks are, you know, male, you know, males are just as intimidated or fearful working with women, just as equally as much as women can be with some of these men. And so those dynamics work really, sometimes there's a lot of fireworks that go off there, a lot of tension, a lot of wild energy, you know, of a sort, dynamics, I guess, energy and dynamics that if everybody just stepped back a moment, we could all probably work together better, and if each side worked through their respective fear. Yeah, I wouldn't say women are timid at all. I'd say that it's just, it's challenging and it's hard. It's just hard to find the right people. I think if you're man or woman, you've got to surround yourself with the right folks and people who are supportive. And once you've found them, you know, consider yourself blessed. I do. People
well,
like Dan
yeah.
Levin, Matt Swindell, Bill Contus, and some of these great other, you know, I've got a, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got about 10, 20 other players on this gig, on this album. I was blessed to get a lot of people to come in on this, that it would just take the music and make it their own and make, you know, take it places that I had never dreamed of. So, yeah, women.
That's
all
beautiful.
I say to women is, yeah, it's tough. And surround yourself with people who can work with you, and you can work with them, and you'll get it done. You will get it done.
Well, and you did, but here's the thing, and I'll just throw this out there because it would be really wonderful if people could take a breath and then move on. But here's what I have found being a female host of an online radio show that is garnering some attention. Here's the thing. When the invitation is given to some women to be on the show, there is that leftover stuff that women of a certain age have learned, and this is it. You ready for this? It is, I don't want to give the appearance of maybe showing off because some men might get a little threatened. And I have to play in that town, so maybe I shouldn't do the show. Maybe I should not shine, because in my shining, I'm going to put some guys off who I've wanted to work with, but they won't want to work with me because maybe they'll think that, oh, what is she trying to do, show me up? Seriously, this is the vibe I get sometimes. So for you to have come the distance you have come and feel the way that you have, and of course, you're living in an area that is very progressive as far as that's concerned, too, I would say. Don't you? You're thinking about that.
Well, see, I lived on the East Coast, too, and I had great experiences there, so I don't know how I could say that the West Coast is more progressive than the East Coast. I'm not with you on that, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to, I think everybody's experiences are different,
yeah.
You know, and I
definitely.
Think what you call to you, you will get, you know, hopefully, and sometimes you don't, but you just got to keep going forward. I don't know how to comment on that, but I can just say that I had great experiences on both coasts. And everywhere in between.
And that's because you do know who you are. And that's the difference, Lisa. That is the difference. You know who you are. Very big deal for you to have come into the Washington, D.C. area, and not one but two ensembles did you co-found. And you had some success. You've lived in a few different places. You know who you are. So that makes 100% difference.
Yeah.
So there.
So. Okay. And congratulations to you, by the way.
Oh,
on your show. On producing your radio show.
Well, look, there's going to be more coming in 2014. I'm chopping at the bit to announce this news, but I have to wait.
Okay.
Have to wait. Yeah. But I'll send a message to you so you know, because in actuality, it's going to, in the long run, benefit you, this new project that this show is attaching itself
to. Well, see, that's the thing. That's the thing is, I just have to say, I just want to address one thing about what you'd said. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm sure it's your experience, you know, that some, or you're perceiving that some folks may not want to shine or something. But I guess for me, when I'm on a show or my music's getting out there or I'm on stage, in no way am I under the illusion that I am there alone. There are so many people beside me and behind me everywhere I go. There are so many people on this project that you wouldn't, that are not listed. There are many listed, many, many names listed on my album who've helped me. And there are as many who didn't get on there as listings, or and everybody on the stage and everybody who plays, you know, it's just, I'm not under that, you know, I may know who I am, but I know who I'm blessed to have traveling with me. And I think that anyone who feels slighted by somebody coming into the light, anyone who's fearful of slighting someone should just make sure they say their names, you know. You know, I think they can take care of it that easily and say, hey, there's some great people out there I want to be working with, and I hope they're listening today, so I'm going to give a shout-out to them. You know, just that'd be a great, God, that's a million-dollar forum right there.
Well,
in fact,
this is
I might take you up on that, too.
This is why Henry Wong just got mentioned and Marianne at Jazzway 6004, because we want to make sure that all of those places certainly get the venues names mentioned, Bethesda Blues and Jazz and Twins Jazz and Blues Alley.
Bohemian Caverns.
Bohemian Caverns, yes, which is one of those really nicely kept secrets in D.C. I mean, that the caliber of talent that comes into this region is crazy, and you need to be at one of the better venues that this region has to offer. So
playing at great venues in the past in D.C., it's been really great. And I look forward to coming up to Baltimore. I played a place there, too, that was really great, but I don't remember the name of it, and I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's probably under another name now, but Blues Alley's been great, Black Cat, places like that, you know, in D.C., I've enjoyed playing in the past.
And all of the U Street, I mean, U Street has gone through such an amazing renaissance, woo! It's tough to keep up with what's happening there music-wise, but that's another place entirely to discuss. But, you know, here's something I want to make sure that we touch on this because, look, I went to Temple University for 4 years. I was a theater major, so I'm really intrigued with your acting ability, too. So do you still want to act, Lisa? I mean, because you've actually been lauded for your acting skills and or singing at the same time. Do you want to keep on pursuing that? Is life a crapshoot? Whatever comes, you want to explore?
Yeah, I mean, I'd never say I never want to do that again. That was a blast. You're talking about Hedwig and the Angry Inch, I think.
I sure am. Yep.
That had a really successful run. It's a rock musical that was developed by John Cameron Mitchell. Some of you may know him now as a film director. They did the film version, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. He starred in the role, and his co-writer, the musical director, I'm sorry, the composer of all of the music is Stephen Trask, and he's working now, too, in television and other in film scoring and things like that as well. But those two guys worked with us out in San Francisco, and we put on the show for 8 months out there, and it was just raucous, amazing success, had brilliant different co-workers and musicians to work with. And I played the role of Yitzhak. If you've seen the film, Yitzhak is from the Eastern Bloc and is Hedwig's husband. And Hedwig is Hedwig has an angry inch because his sex change operation was botched.
Yes.
So I play Hedwig's husband in that rock musical. And that was a real blast. The music's just great in that show. It's great because it's a lot of different styles, and it's really well written, and it's really rocking, and the whole show was a blast, and the Hedwig that I worked with was he was really quite talented improvisationally and vocally as well, musically?
Well, I would imagine that from city to city, anytime you're going to put on a production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, there are going to be crowds that are going to be quite discerning. So this is San Francisco we're talking about, and I would imagine that there would be very in-tune, evolved audiences that saw your performance. And for you to have won an award for that, that speaks volumes, because that's a tough crowd right there. Tough crowd.
Well, you know what? It was a lot of fun. I'd learned from the producers that it took them a while to get the rights from John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, because they, as you say, they really wanted the San Francisco production to be very special given the demographics of the city,
yeah,
and the surrounding Bay Area. And so they were holding off until they got the right people that they could trust to do it. And that's why, unlike with other places, they actually came out and worked with us. Stephen Trask and John Kevin Mitchell both came out. So that was a real thrill for me to get to meet them and to work with them. And so that was a lot of fun. And but also the show, yes, I got a nomination, and I did get the, it's called the Bay Area Theater Circle, Critics, the Critics Circle, and
beautiful.
They did award me the Best Supporting Actress, but in the role of a man, which is funny, but but the show itself was brilliant and got many nominations in the area of direction, lighting, costumes, you know, in so many different areas. So the show overall itself, again, I would say, you know, the only reason I got to shine was because of the brilliant people that I was working with, and from behind the set and on the stage, you know, then the producers, everybody on that project was just top notch.
Well, see, this is why when you bring your skills of all of who you are to a project like Little Warrior, because this is the first project that has gotten my attention. I mean, now I'm consumed with learning more about you and seeing how your path goes. But you brought all of that experience and training and that sense of other kinds of people into this CD, so it became more than just a wonderful vocalist. You were an actress, and I could hear different stories come alive via these different songs. Case in point, and you mentioned Valentine's Day. You know that Blue Valentine's hit me right between the eyes. I know it's a Tom Waits song, but you added something to this song that was deep and dark and luscious and bold.
What a beautiful song. Yeah, that song really resonates. It always has. My sister, who's a brilliant musician, singer, and working musician in L.A., turned me on to Tom Waits when I was young. And so that tune I've held with me for, gosh, many, many years, since I was preteen, teenager, that time period. I wasn't listening to the likes of Miley Cyrus type music. I was listening to Tom Waits and Joni Mitchell and those kind of things. And so, yeah, and that's a tune. You know, I recorded another Tom Waits tune on Caravan as part of that album, but it didn't make the cut. But I will release it later, probably as a gift. Probably I'll just put it out there as a single for fans. I don't know what I'll do with that yet. I'll have to revisit that. But so this is the second song that I've done of Tom Waits's, and we started the Valentine sessions with that tune. We went in that day, and that's what we started with. I wanted to start with Blue Valentine's, simply because it was the Valentine's Day session. So that's not easy material for your guys, your collaborators, to, you know, the pianist and bassist Sam and Matt on drums to just start with, but they did a brilliant job with it. It's immediately going into a very dark, what I called a, what did I put on that? I put directions on that song. I forget what it was, but yeah, a very pensive, dark place to go to start out with. But it was perfect. It was a perfect place to begin from because from there we in recording, too, when I set a recording up, it's like doing a track list as well. You really think about what order you're going to record in. And a lot of times those decisions are practical decisions, but a lot of times those are decisions as you would do with a set list or what kind of dynamics you're going to create within a recording session. And I really pay attention to that as well. What order do I call the tunes in that I want to record? I don't know if other people do that, but I certainly do. And you know, so I wanted to start out that way in a pensive way, and it worked really well. It was morning. We were sleepy. You know, we're hopefully I didn't want to wake them up. I didn't want to start, you know, I don't want to start loud. I wanted to start with something that was kind of slow and pensive, and we'll wake up eventually, you know, that kind of thing.
Well,
and they did
a beautiful
job on it, you know. They
oh,
really
my gosh.
Did.
It's really haunting.
That bassist and the bass and piano solo, I just love, really love those. And I love that his piano accompaniment. Bill's accompaniment is just simply almost seemingly out of time. The two of us are just disparate. It's almost, it's but yet very well synchronized. He did a brilliant job. Just magical session. I just can't say how magical those sessions were.
Yeah,
you
can feel it. You can feel that there is some real simpatico energy here. And I wanted to play one song while I have
you. Oh yes,
you
let's play some music
with me. So yeah, let's do Blue Valentines from Little Warrior. Lisa Engelken is our guest here on Hybrid Jazz.
Sends me Valentine all the way from Philadelphia to mark the anniversary of someone that I used to be, and it feels like there's a warrant for my arrest. Baby got me checking in my rearview mirror. That's why I'm always on the run. That's why I change my name, and I never thought he'd ever find me here. Send me blue valentines and half forgotten dreams, like a pebble in my shoe, as I walk these streets. The ghost of a memory, baby, it's like the thistle in the kiss. It's the burglar that can break the rose's neck. It's the tattooed broken promise that lies beneath my sleeve, and I'll see you Every time I turn my back, sends me give or take these blood stains off my hands, and it takes a whole lot of whiskey to make these nightmares go away, and I cut my bleeding heart out every night, and I'm gonna die just a little bit more each and every St. Valentine's Day. Yeah, remember, I promised I would write. Send you blue valentines, ooh, valentines, blue valentines.
That is one intense song. Where are we? Woo, 6 minutes and 23 seconds of where are we? Whew. Amazing.
Wow.
Lisa Engelken.
Yeah.
Mm.
I was just thinking, that's so fun to, you know, I haven't heard the album. I try not to listen to it. And so I just heard that. That's the first time I've heard that in a while. But, yeah, those guys are great. That was the first song of the day. That was one take. That's all live,
wow.
Folks. Yeah. That was great, and that was 10 in the morning.
Man, and whatever you did to warm your voice up, because Griselda and I are talking in the chat room and typing back and forth, and we went, whoa, because that note is so strong. And here's the thing about this particular song and this performance. It's not it's because of the intensity. And because somehow it's weird to make these associations with your mind when you hear somebody sing, but if Billie Holiday had lived, I could hear her doing that song, and I hear her especially because of how intense you were in capturing the moment of that song.
Yeah, she would have done a beautiful job with it. She really would have. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I would like
Shoot.
To. That would have. I wish Tom Waits would have fact,
been around.
I don't know how I could have done it, but teleported it to her somehow.
Whoa, my gosh! And you've got that. It's interesting. How would we phrase this? You have that natural inclination to be authentically dramatic. Your voice conveys a deeper meaning. And
yeah,
you can't say that.
Yeah. You know, that turns a lot of people off, I think. It can turn people off, the dramatic nature of my style. But it's true. I cannot separate text. I mean, that's where I start. I start when I select a tune. You know, it's got to have great, it's got to speak to me textually and harmonically both. If it doesn't speak to me textually, then I can't rework the harmonies. So first off, it's got to, the subject matter, if it's not my own original, the subject matter has to really resonate with me. And I decided on this album and with this project, again, it's Soul Explorations, it's Anima Explorations was the working title. So it really did go into the lights and darks, the light places and the dark places inside of me, and trying to embrace both the light and the dark. And so this is obviously one of those tunes. I just looked up the music right now. I've got it here. Brooding was the word that I gave to the band on the that was the direction. That was adjective I was looking for. The brooding of this piece.
That, beautiful.
It's a dark tune, you know. Just even super, you know, you can't really be superficial with lyrics like that, you know. Oh, let's take that swing and make it a swing. You send me blue Valentine's, hey, and half forgotten dreams.
Everybody, thank you for joining us tonight. Please tip your waitress. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
You know, there's really only one way to go with that.
Oh, Bill Murray on Saturday Night Live. Oh, my God, I can just hear him doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, but Mr. Waits didn't give me much choice there, I don't think.
No.
Beautiful tune. It's a title track, actually, from his album, 1973, maybe, somewhere in there, title track from Blue Valentine's.
Yeah, my son is a big fan of Tom Waits. My son is 21, so he likes all this old school stuff with a lot of the new stuff involved. I mean, it's equal rank. John Coltrane, Miles Davis, Tom Waits, German metal. There's a gamut of music that is in his world, and he really appreciates Tom Waits. And to hear a female do Tom Waits song, bring it to life in a whole different way. Man, it's beautiful. Do you see how this hour has just flown by, Lisa?
Did it go already? And we only got two songs in? Good golly.
Oh, no. Oh, honey. Oh, we're going to get a third song in for sure. And of course, I love the idea that you sing multilingually, so I had to include
Yay.
Viva La Felicita. Yes,
excellent. Viva la Felicita. And
Felicita.
Felicita. It's Italian. It's a samba, obviously the Brazilian influence of the music. But it was written by Franco Godi, and it was written for an Italian children's cartoon, animated cartoon called Signor Rossi, Mr. Rossi.
And so it's
the theme song to a children's animated cartoon, which y'all can look up. Your listeners can look up on and listen to the original and compare it to this one, my version. Look it up on YouTube. It's the theme song to Signor, which is S-I-G-N-O-R, Signor Rossi, R-O-S-S-I, or Mr.
That's
Rossi
wild.
In English. And
beautiful.
Drummer Matthew Swindells used to listen, watch this cartoon when he was a kid. It was a cartoon in the 70s, and it was on the BBC. He's from the UK. He's a drummer out of England. And the BBC carried this cartoon in English, and he had no idea. One day he sang me the song. He played guitar and sang the song, and I was like, wow, that's such a beautiful little tune. And it's in Italian, and it's beautiful, and I could, you know, use some of my Italian, because I speak fluent Italian, I could
use
some of my Italian skills and put those to work. And so then when I went to look it up, that's when I went to look it up, and I realized it was actually in Italian. It was actually originally written in Italian, and he had just known the English version that was on the BBC. So that's when I decided I'm going to use it on my album. Not only do I love it in English, I really love it in Italian, so that's why that ended up there on this album, too. And, of course, the great feel of the tune, the feel that the trio has is just out of this world, especially during the flute solo. And just all the way through it, they really have a great feel. And Matt has played he's Brazilian style music with, you know, authentically. And of course, Bill plays with Dori Caymmi, and then Sam also on bass really does a great job. The feel of the tune is just lovely. It really does swing like a bottom, like somebody's round bottom. As they walk down the beach.
Okay. That is the image that I'll carry with me forever.
That's I was going to say swing or samba. If you can evoke the bottom moving
Man.
Back and forth as they walk.
And you know what? That's so funny because I was going to end the our time together with this show and then follow it with a guitarist that I just also got to know in 2013 named Rick Udler, who is based in Brazil, who was one of those formidable guitarists. And it just, you know, I was listening to your song here, and I'm relishing it because in Philadelphia, which is my hometown, we have all these glorious South Philadelphia Italian weddings. So to go to one of these weddings and see the kinds of desserts and the kind of camaraderie and the gift-giving, oh, my God, that's what it reminded me of.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Italians definitely have it going on as far as knowing how to throw a party.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
As well
do
as
they
the Brazilians.
Yeah, well, I know. And just to be a part of that ambiance, you know, for some of us who weren't in families that were that demonstrative, and then when you see these beautiful friends who are family, they're all kissing each other on the lips. really hugging hard, never let me go. It's beautiful. Well, look, how long are you going to be in Kansas? Are you there for the holiday season or what?
No, I'm just here for a few more days and just loving it. I tell you what, I love it coming home here. This is where I'm from, the earth. I really am from the earth out of here, and the big skies are gorgeous, and the sunsets are I don't know, I've been a lot of places around this world, and I still think the most beautiful sunsets are right here in Kansas on a winter night. They are just absolutely stunning. So book your next trip, folks, to rural Kansas.
Oh, you paint such a beautiful picture. Wow.
Oh,
that's
it's
awesome.
Gorgeous. The whole sky embraces you in violet. It's just amazing.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Well, enjoy your time. And
I will. Thank you so much. And everybody have a great holiday season. Try to keep up and try to keep happy, or at least try to keep your feet on the ground. And
That's it.
Thanks so much, Trish, for having me on your show and for being so generous to share your audience and your forum with me to get my, you know, message out about my music. It's so important to us indie artists to have the help of you and of your listeners. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, Lisa, honestly. You're just a cut above in so many ways. So to be able to find you and be able to help at all is a big, fat blessing. So you should know that going forward. Well,
thank you so much, Trish.
Well,
big
you are welcome.
All y'all out there.
Big love to you back, and we'll work on these venues. We'll stay in touch and make sure that you get booked in the right places.
Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming in April if I can
come
hell or high water. Yeah.
That's my girl. That's my girl. That's Lisa Engelken right there. Have a wonderful day, girl.
Hey, thanks so much. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Little Warrior is the name of the CD, and this is so beautiful. Viva la Felicita on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Delicious.
Pomodoro, un caffè no di cacao, tre beignets e caffè, 33 marron glacé.
Hometown Hero Time. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free.
So happy to play that song for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's Cedric Lamont, who I have known for a while now, who is a Baltimore native and who has been singing for a long time, having shared the stage seriously with Patti LaBelle, Roy Ayers, Michael Jackson. This youngin has been around for a while. Beautiful guy. When he is out and about and he sings these ballads, ladies go crazy because he's very handsome and he's very charismatic, great voice. You know, to find that kind of voice that is a throwback to what was great from the past. And then this song, because this song makes me smile having found out about Mark Arthur Miller this year, and having him on the show and knowing that his dad was a writer for Motown who wrote that song, Someday at Christmas by Ron Miller and also by Brian Wells, 1967. Someday at Christmas was a big album for Stevie Wonder. Some of us remember. So to play that song because of those two reasons, and then the third, there's always a third, three is a very good number. Daoud Saeed, he produced the album and did a great job. He and Sed really worked well together. And, of course, Daoud has the intro music and the outro music for Hybrid Jazz. So it's really wonderful to see Cedric make these strides. It's great. It's called Christmas, the CD. You can get it via iTunes and CD Baby. Cedric has studied at Peabody Institute. He knows how to play piano and is multi-instrumental like Daoud. So he knows his way around a song. To hear these Christmas favorites that are done so well, because a lot of people should not sing Christmas songs that other people love. You know what I'm saying. But I'm so happy that I can tell you that every one of these is done with love. So good job, Cedric. Yay. Rick Udler on guitar. Got to know Rick via my friend Marianne, we'll say her name once again, at Jazzway 6004, one of those intimate venues that we have in Baltimore that we love so much. Rick's guitar work that you heard, Papaya, the name of the song. Actually, no, Tribal is the name of the song. Papaya is the CD from 2006. Rick is fascinating because he was born in Santiago, Chile, to Argentinian parents who had Eastern European extraction. And then they moved to Sao Paulo, Brazil, when Rick was 11. Rick has lived in Los Angeles, New Orleans, and Miami, but now he's back in Brazil. And he's so authentic when it comes to this guitar because he has been around these people who know it, who love it, who live it. And that's the big difference, isn't it? It always is. You got to do what's authentic for you. And you gravitate to those things that are not necessarily indigenous to your region or to your nature, but you have to have a passion for it. You just can't learn it and then decide to play it and think people are going to think, oh, that's pretty cool. He or she knows what they're doing. You might not. You might not. Oh. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Hiroshima. And a song that we did not get to the other day when Kimo Cornwell was with us. Beautiful time, wasn't it? Oh, bless his heart. This is one of those songs from J-Town Beat. Kimo did the intro and does a solo. Dan waxes poetic on these notes for each song at HiroshimaMusic.com. This song was specifically written because of the loss of George Duke. So you know that I'm going to follow this song with a George Duke song. This is called State of Mind, one of those vibes that they wanted to capture that was reminiscent to the group of Quiet Storm, the jazz and the soul and the extras. And that was all who George Duke was, all the extras that made up his fabulous music. For George Duke, State of Mind by Hiroshima.
supporting my family, being a man I'm supposed to be. Nothing seems to be going right, oh no. When you feel your world is pressing down on you tight,
whoever had the idea of putting Brian Culbertson and Michael McDonald together, can I please shake your hand? Woo! From that really wonderful, soulful Christmas CD from 2006. Just love to hear that song every year. Michael McDonald, all through this Christmas night. Man! Eric Marienthal was on this, Paul Jackson Jr., Lenny Castro, to name a few. Let's just tell you about, I see there's T calling. Yay! He always has to check in. That's very good. Michael McDonald's website has a very important little stipulation there. Very clever. If you agree to sign up to do a VIP package as far as like backstage passes, meet and greets with Michael McDonald, here's what he does when you pay the extra to do it. All of that money goes to a foundation called Why Hunger. He is trying to eliminate hunger in the United States. Let's just do one thing at a time. We're going to try to get to the globe, but he's really trying to make sure that, and you can't understand it, why anybody goes to bed hungry in this very rich country. So he's doing that, and if you go to michaelmcdonald.com, you can see that and where he's going to be over the next several days in warmer climates, ladies and gentlemen, because he's no dummy. Phew! Celebrating his birthday coming up in February. He will be 62, and I relate to that because in the new year, that's the age I will be as well. Brian Culbertson, if you go to his website, you're going to see a whole lot of dates. And one of the big deals is his Napa Valley Jazz Extravaganza that he pulls usually in the springtime. It's kind of new from the past couple of years. But here's something that Brian is doing that you should make note of. If you haven't heard this already, he has done the Christmas song Solo Piano. It's available on iTunes, so you might want to go to his website and check that out. We heard George Duke, Stanley Clarke, and Everett Harp do O Tannenbaum, which is O Christmas Tree in German. That's from Jazz to the World from 1995. Again, I cannot say enough about this compilation CD. It's got some great stuff on there. And of course, when you have three magnanimous talents like this, the best of keyboard, the best of bass, the best of saxophone, it just sounds so wonderful. Everett Harp just wrapped up his touring with Eros Ramazzotti, who is very popular in Italy. And Stanley, I see, is coming to the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, January the 9th, playing a date in our hometown of Philly, too. StanleyClarke.com has more information. And, of course, this Christmas season, big fat hole in our hearts to know that George is not going to be with us this Christmas, and we'll have to get over it, but we did lose some very special people this year, did we not? Both those who were absolutely invasive to our souls and hearts that we knew in the celebrity context, and then people that we knew personally. Sometimes those worlds intermingled. So let's be grateful for every day that we have and be grateful for the time that we had with them. Whew. Hiroshima, State of Mind, about George Duke and... Man, beautiful song. Kimo Cornwell, you did so fantastically on that song, we can't even say. Got time for a couple more. We might not get to the third, but we're going to get to two of them, by golly. Birthday girl yesterday, Cindy Bradley. Of course I'm going to play my trumpet girl, my trumpetess, if you will. A New Day from Unscripted on Hybrid Jazz. Hybrid Jazz.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Happy golden days of yours. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Woo! A few versions of that song she's done. This one from Jazz to the World, again from 1995. Cindy Bradley right before that, and A New Day from Unscripted. Couple of things to tell you. Found a great place yesterday, you locals. GingyChocolate.com. Raw and organic and gluten-free chocolate and or otherwise treats. It's just amazing. Amazing. GingyChocolate.com. J-I-N-G-I. next Tuesday. It's an open house, a holiday house here on Hybrid Jazz. Everybody and his mama can call to say hello and spread the word about what you do. How do you like that? Thanks to Lisa Angleton for her wonderful hour and some minutes here on Hybrid Jazz. Thanks, Griselda, for hanging with me. God bless you. Have a wonderful, safe weekend and a happy holiday season. Love to all.